Welcome to the Soul Food Sneakers Podcast. I am Dustin, and today we're talking about the history of the Air Max sneaker, the Nike Air Max. On Air Max Day, March 26th, a little bit obvious for a sneaker podcast to do an episode about the Nike Air Max on Air Max Day, but c'est la vie. Air Max Day is on March 26th, and it's the day every year that Nike chooses to celebrate Nike Air. The tech, the shoes, the history, all of it. Why March 26th? Because on March 26th, 1987, an ad ran for a brand new basketball shoe from Nike called the Nike Air Revolution. The Revolution wasn't the first Nike shoe to feature air. That was the Tailwind, released in 1978. It was, however, the first shoe to feature a visible air unit. That same year, Nike released the Air Max, now known as the Air Max 1, because there have been a lot of Air Maxes since. This is a running shoe and also had a visible air unit embedded in the midsole. Now, the story goes that Tinker Hatfield, the Air Max 1's designer, the man that would go on to design many of Air Jordan's sneakers, as well as many other Air Max sneakers, got his inspiration from the Centre Pompidou in Paris, which is a very famous building and unique for the fact that its guts were essentially exposed. So you could see its piping and its detailing, basically its insides on the outside, and Hatfield used this design inspiration for what is now known as the visible air unit on the first Air Max sneaker. The original colorway of the shoe in white, gray, and red, also known as University Red, is still considered to this day to be one of the best sneakers ever made. The Air Max 1 was a much bigger success than the Air Revolution, and Nike more or less abandoned that line and focused instead on their now very popular Air Max line, which led to their follow-up to the AM1, the Air Max Lite, or Air Max 2, in 1989. An essentially forgotten chapter in the book of Air Max, the AM Lite today looks literally like a mashup between the 1 and the Air Max 90, or Air Max 3, if you like, which dropped in, obviously, 1990, and which had a bigger air bubble than its predecessor. In 1991, Nike dropped the Air Max BW, BW as in big window. This shoe, also called the Air Max Classic, is another sleeper in the Air Max catalog, but a cult classic amongst collectors. Its white, blue, and black Persian color scheme is the only version anyone really remembers of the shoe, and it holds up. I'm sure if Nike retroed this today, it would do very well. The Air Max 180, also released in 1991, had an air bubble visible in 180 degrees on the outsole. An interesting thing about this shoe was the ads that came with it, some of Nike's funkiest to date, with art from Hunter S. Thompson collaborator Ralph Steadman, and several other print ads that are some of Nike's best from that era. Nike also hired George Lucas's Industrial Light and Magic and body horror maestro David Cronenberg to create commercials for the shoe. Outside of the MJ and Spike Lee commercials for the Air Jordans, the ad campaign for the Air Max 180 was arguably Nike's best. The Air Max 93 had an air bubble that wrapped around the entire heel of the shoe and featured a sock booty inside. It also featured an ad campaign that compared its air suspension heel bag to the suspension on a 1993 Range Rover County LWB. The Air Max 94 was more or less the same as the 93, while that same year Nike also dropped the Air Max 2, or Air Max Squared, whose defining feature is the exact same airbag units that would make their way onto the Air Max 95, which is a radical new design that was modeled after the anatomy of the human foot and featured three separate air bubbles, one in the back and two in the forefoot. The Air Max 95 was born from a new designer, with the venerated Tinker Hatfield handing the reins over to Sergio Lorzano, who took the air bubbles from the Air Max Squared and slapped them on an upper that was both futuristic looking and super sleek. The shoe was a grail from day one in both Japan and the UK, where the sneakers were selling for thousands above their retail price point just days after their release, a markup unheard of in 1995. In the UK, the shoes are still lovingly referred to as 110s due to their high, for that time, retail price point of £110. To this day, the Air Max 95, along with the Air Max 1 and 90, are still the most popular Air Max sneakers in Nike's long line of releases, and look as futuristic as they did almost 30 years ago. As if to thank Japan for its appreciation for that model, in 1997, Nike released the Air Max 97, whose design was inspired by Japanese bullet trains, complete with a sleek silver upper and an air bubble that extended nearly the entire length of the midsole. Those also had a new designer in Christian Tessler, but before that, Nike and Sergio Lozano dropped the Air Max 96, which had a more aggressive design than the 95s, and have more or less disappeared into obscurity thanks to being outmatched and outnumbered by both the beloved 95s and 97s. In 1998, Nike dropped the Air Max 98, which had the same footbed and airbag unit as the 97, but had a much different upper, complete with stripes and wavy layers of leather and mini swooshes on both the lateral and medial sides of the sneaker. That same year, Nike dropped one of the Air Max classics, the Air Max Plus, also known as the Air Max TN, which stands for Tuned Air, a new bubble technology that Nike created especially for this shoe. The Air Max Plus is one of the hottest Air Max sneakers in Nike's running line and a favorite of crooks and criminals since its release, thanks both to its comfort as to its unique gradient uppers and small jewel Nike swooshes. Nike has been bringing this release out of the archives over the last year and has released a bevy of Air Max Plus colorways, likely to build hype towards the release of their newest Air Max model dropping today, the Air Max DN, which stands for Dynamic Air. Nike never took a break from the Air Max line, but pretty much every Air Max from 2001 to 2016 has been ignored or forgotten about. They aren't all bad shoes, and some tried some things that made for striking and exciting designs and technology, like the ball-bubbled Air Max 2002 and the super funky neon-covered Air Max 2011 and 2014. I also really like the fat-bodied swooshed Air Max LD0, especially the navy blue one designed by Hiroshi Fujiwara of Fragment fame. In 2006, Nike released the Air Max 360. 360 because of the 360-degree airbag it featured in the sole. The most air ever pumped into a Nike shoe up to that point. The shoe wasn't a great success and had a lot of complaints about both its comfort and its durability. But that same year, Nike also released the one-time-only pack, which was a pack of 15 different Nike shoes wherein the sole of the shoes was the caged 360 bubble, and the upper was a classic Nike from the archives, such as the Air Max 90 Infrared, the Air Max 95 Neon, and the 97 Silver Bullet. None of the shoes looked good with the 360-degree bottoms, and the strange experiment was quickly forgotten. By far, Nike's biggest and best Air Max release since the mid-90s was 2017's Air Vapor Max. This time the air unit on the bottom was completely exposed. No cages, no supports, no rubber Nike logos on the bottom. Just airbag. Fused onto that exposed cush was a fly knit upper that took advantage of the sock sneaker trend that was in full swing and would get even bigger and better when Adidas refined the style with the likes of the NMD, Ultra Boost, and Yeezy 350 V's 1 and 2. There was also a Velcro version of the VaporMax designed by Comme des Garçons, and both prohibitively expensive and impossible to acquire for retail. Nike released a bunch of VaporMaxes, and they all did well and were a trend and a fashion scene unto themselves in 2017 and 18, and probably even had something to do with the success of 2018's Air Max 270. The 270 had, you guessed it, 270 degrees of air in its heel, which lifted the wearer's back foot off the ground higher than Nike had ever raised it up to that point. The most interesting thing about the 270 was that Nike admitted it wasn't designed with running or athletics in mind so much as it was for fashion. Nike wanted people to rock the 270s with a dope fit and post the results on social media more than they wanted people to run marathons in them or nail a medal in a 100-meter dash. And it worked. The 270 was a big hit, and there were a lot of fits that were made and shared with the big-assed sock sneaker. Oddly, despite the success of the 270, Nike zagged somewhat with the Air Max 720. Instead of 270 degrees of big bubbled air in the heel, the 720 featured an airbag that ran the entire length of the shoe underfoot. Once again, Nike wasn't interested in making the 720 something for runners and athletes. In fact, when designing the shoe, they looked at motion capture technology of people walking around New York City and created the shoe based on meeting their needs. Something someone can throw on their way out the door and wear all day without their feet feeling sore or their legs feeling heavy by the time they reach their couch. One criticism the shoes had when they released was that they had too much cushion. The massive airbag on the bottom of the shoe makes it feel as if the wearer is walking around on an air mattress. It looks cool, but it's also kind of weird. The uppers are less sock and more shell-like, and the big windows that provide ventilation don't, really. At least is not as well as they should, making the sneaker pretty hot after a couple of hours of wear. It's a cool-looking shoe, though, and dropped in a bunch of cool colorways. I have the Be True version that was released for Pride Month and features gradient rainbows up and down the shoe and a small black plastic swoosh on the side. Nike also brought back the VaporMax in 2019, something called the VaporMax 2 with upgraded tech and materials. And in 2020, Nike dropped the Air Max 2090. The numerology of these Air Maxes can get a little confusing. Sometimes they use the year the shoes came out, as in the Air Max 95, 97, etc. Sometimes it's the degrees of which there is air in the shoe, as in the 180, 270, etc. And sometimes it's neither. The Air Max 2090 is essentially the Air Max 90 2. An updated take on the classic Air Max 90, this time with futuristic design elements and next-gen tech and materials. The uppers here are the same plasticky stuff that can be found in the Element React 87 and the Element React 55. It also features that same essentially pointless strip of stitching that can be found on those other shoes, a semi-translucent swoosh, and some super chunky mudguards on the medial and lateral sides. I thought they were cool, and not just because LeBron James was the one who was seen wearing them first before they were even announced. Nike did release an Air Max 2021, which is more or less the same shoe as the 2090, with a different air bubble in the heel, but the standout Air Max release of that year was a shoe called the Air Max Pre-Day. The Pre-Day was the big hit that the Air Max 2021 was not. It featured a cool-looking airbag suspended in between a tire tread-like mid and outsole, a large, partially obscured swoosh, uppers made with mostly recycled material, and came in a bunch of cool color options. They were also well-reviewed, with people praising their comfort, look, and durability. In 2022, Nike released the Air Max Scorpion, by far Nike's most outrageous and over-the-top usage of air in a sneaker thus far. Flyknit uppers fused onto bulbous air balloon-looking bottoms. The shoes were praised by some, but way too much for most, too much money and too much air, and are a bit of an oddity in Nike's Air Max catalog of releases. The Air Max sneaker Nike dropped in 2023 was called the Air Max Pulse, a chunky and far more business casual looking sneaker than the increasingly futuristic models Nike had been pushing in the past several years. Despite all the tech under the hood and extra sturdy materials, the Pulse came and went without making much noise, and I've yet to see a single person wearing them out in the wild. Which brings us to 2024 and the Air Max DN, Nike's latest Air Max sneaker and the sneaker they've been teasing and attempting to hype for several months now. I actually think the DN looks pretty cool. It's dual pressure air tubes, which look like balls of air in the midsole. It's scaly mesh uppers, super busy outsole design, and cool brand new Air Max logo all add up to a fun and comfy looking sneaker that I wouldn't mind giving a spin around the block. Plus, Nike already have a headline-grabbing collaboration partner for the brand new silhouette. Supreme's take on the sneaker will include two different colorways, a black and a silver. The black ones dropped at the end of February, and the silver ones are dropping sometime in the future. And to be honest, the Supreme versions are boring. The all-black one is essentially the same as Nike's all-black version, with the only difference being the word Supreme stretched in big letters across the upper. I'd much rather have the far more readily available and cheaper GR colorways that Nike released today, especially the black and neon pink, which is the best of the bunch. The Air Max has been around since 1987 and has been Nike's playground for innovation, both technical and stylistic. And while Nike has had as many misses as hits with that line, the fact that they've used the Max as a way to carve new paths for both athletes and fashionistas into the future is a big reason why Nike is the footwear behemoth it is today. Yes, they have Michael Jordan and LeBron James. They have Serena Williams and Tiger Woods and Cristiano Ronaldo. They have their collabs with Dior, Louis Vuitton, and Off-White, not to mention an endless portfolio of collaborations with the world's best sneaker shops, designers, and innovators. But Air Max is a pillar all its own. It has its own culture, its own stable of rabid sneaker fanatics and collectors that hang on every release and announcement. It even has its own countries. Jordans and Air Forces are certainly the most popular Nike sneakers in America and receive the most attention in sneaker-headed circles. But in places like Japan and the UK, Air Max is like a religion. And Nike has rewarded these obsessives with a wide range of outside-of-the-box releases and ideas. And even some of those have hit big with audiences. The Air Max Terrascape 90, a recycled material, semi-translucent take of the Air Max 90 with a big wraparound swoosh, was a big hit when it dropped in 2021, thanks in part to its similarities to Off-White's deconstructed takedown of the model as part of the beloved The 10 Pack, which came out in 2017 and changed the face of sneaker design and obsession forever. Abloh's The 10 Pack also featured his signature reworkings of an Air Max 97 and an Air Vapor Max. There was also a special pink version of the Off-White 97 that Virgil did, especially for Serena Williams, which he called, appropriately, Queen. There have actually been many classic Air Max collaborations over the years, proving what a beloved canvas it is for creatives to play with. One of the most memorable was Sean Weatherspoon's take on two Air Max models, the 1 and the 97, when he won a contest held by Nike in 2017 to create his own Air Max shoe that would be available to the public. The result was the Sean Weatherspoon Air Max 97-1, a sneaker with the mid and outsole of an Air Max 1, and the upper done in layers of multicolored corduroy of an Air Max 97. Another memorable Air Max collab was one of my favorite sneakers of all time, the Air Max 90 Bacon, a collab with the now defunct Dave's Quality Meats. DQM was a sneaker shop in New York City that was made up to look like a butcher shop. The shop's owner, Dave Ortiz, designed a pair of 90s to look like a pack of bacon. The shoes were very popular and demanded huge sums of money on the secondary market. Incredibly, though, Nike brought the shoes back in 2021 and made a ton of them. You can now grab yourself a pair sans any DQM branding for retail or less. Some other notable Air Max 90s collabs have included Huff's Huffquake, which were covered in the cracked elephant print that was made famous on the Air Jordan 3. A super rare pair of white and neon 90s that Kaws made for Nike in 2008, 9 years before his beloved Air Jordan 4s saw the light of day, and a pair called Tongue in Cheek, which were made to coincide with the release of Air Max head and UK rap superstar Dizzy Rascal's 2009 album of the same name. One of the most beloved AM 90s is Atmos's Duck Camo joints that came out back in 2013. And feature camo panels alongside black and infrared color blocking. Atmos is also responsible for the Air Max 1 Elephant, which also featured AJ3 elephant print alongside black and white uppers and a Tiffany blue swoosh. Atmos also dropped a couple of Air Max 1 Safaris, which, as the name suggests, are sneakers covered in the fake, obviously, skins of animals you would find in the safari, plus a super cool Tokyo exclusive called the Biotech. Some other notable one collabs include the Kiss of Death ones via Edison Chen's Clot label out of Hong Kong. These featured translucent toe caps exposing the wearer's toes or socks to the world. Another Huffquake from Huff, this time in all black with hits of neon green. Some velvety cherrywood ones from Amsterdam sneaker shop Pata and Amsterdam artist Para. Similar to the cherrywood was the Para Amsterdam, covered in burgundies, reds, and neon blues. The shoes were a tribute to Amsterdam's red light district. Pata also released the Air Max 1 Pata Waves, several colors where the overlays are cut into waves and which feature more luxe materials than you'd typically find on this model. Whereas Para is responsible for the AM1 Para, a cotton candy colored sneaker which featured stripes, polka dots, and a multicolored outsole. Sneaker and rap god Travis Scott released his take on the Air Max 1 back in 2022 with a trio of colorways that elicited a love it or hate it reaction from most people. I was in the latter group. Boston Sneaker Spot Concepts did a trio of ones in 2022 as well called Heavy, Far Out, and Mellow, respectively. They're loud, hippie-inspired kicks that featured a variety of colors and materials throughout. Not a collab, but certainly worth mentioning, are the recent Air Max 1 Big Bubble releases. These are sneakers in their original release colorways with, as the name suggests, oversized air bubbles in the heel. The story goes that this was the original size of the air bubble in the 1, but after the first pairs went out into the world and came back with popped air bubbles, Nike scrapped that release, shrank the air bubble, and re-released the shoes in the form in which we're all most accustomed. The AM1 86 OG Big Bubble, as they're called, are the original version of the shoe, and I, for one, love them. As far as collabs on the 95, over the years, we got another Safari from Atmos in a Tokyo exclusive in 2006, and a worldwide 2.0 version in 2018. Para dropped a super colorful 95 in 2008. In 2006, New York artist and previous owner of beloved sneaker spot Nord Recon, Stash, dropped his classic AM95 in shades of blue. And Nike's program at Portland, Oregon Children's Hospital Dornbecker, where they let kids fighting illness design kicks, has done several much beloved 95s over the years. The most striking Air Max 97 collab probably came in the form of a trio of Swarovski 97s in silver, gold, and black. These sneakers have Swarovski crystals embedded into the uppers. LA sneaker shop and frequent Nike collaborators Undefeated also got a couple of 97s, the most popular in olive green. Cristiano Ronaldo and UK hip-hop artist Skepta have each gotten one. Skepta actually has a couple. Eminem did one in 2006. There were also a bunch of 97s released around the world called the Country Camo Pack, which were 97s with camo-covered uppers in a variety of camo styles and colors. Have there been any significant collabs on the recent Air Max sneakers? Not really. Travis Scott dropped an Air Max 270 in 2020 that no one really liked. Cactus Plant Flea Market dropped a Vapor Max in 2019 that made some noise. Nike actually put two classic uppers on the Vapor Max bottoms when they fused both the 95 Neon and the 97 Silver Bullet onto them. And the brand new DN has the aforementioned Supreme drop to their name. Supreme has had actually a bunch of Air Max collabs over the years, including a super nice red and white Air Max 98, some Air Max 96s, and a pack of Air Max Plus. The Air Max is 37 years old. Nike has been celebrating Air Max Day since 2014. Every year they release a new Air Max sneaker, at times with highly regarded collaborators and almost always with no shortage of thoughts, opinions, reviews, and interest from sneakerheads, bloggers, reporters, and celebs. Today, on the 10th anniversary of Air Max Day with the release of the DN and several other unique Air Max colorways and models, Nike proves its continued commitment to this lineup of running and lifestyle kicks with innovation, forward tech, and design elements that, as I said earlier, has created a culture all its own. So that's our episode, some thoughts and history on the Nike Air Max on Air Max Day. Thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging out. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with more sneaker-related goodies for you to chew on. In the meantime, please take care.